of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Can you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds? You might learn something.
Number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your niece on claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Yeah! It's Thursday night. Jeffy, we're doing a real program now, not the pop-up Corona quarantine programs.
Not the Corona quarantine program. We're on the real,
this the real, the real. Like, we'd be professional on this program, Jeffy. That's what we got to do. It's not just writing the rules as we go.
Yeah, hey man, I'm not gonna say I'm hurt, but I'm gonna say, what do you mean?
All right, I like that. Good enough. We got a lot of great feedback on last night's show, man. A lot of people really dug it. I think we helped a few people out with getting some of that info out there, man. It was a great show. Again, great find on having Nurse Michelle with us last night. That was fantastic.
Yep. Sister Michelle is an awesome person.
And literally, like, it's just, whenever you have Stephanie Webster on with you, it's always going to be fun, right?
Yeah.
So big shout out to them. Big shout out to them, and I know today that if you remember, we had Chef Matt Storch on last night, and he's talking about that they're taking donations, and every time they get to basically $1,000, they send out a bunch of meals for everybody. And I saw today that they did a big delivery to a hospital in Bridgeport, Connecticut. They sent a bunch of meals over today. Very cool, man. I'm so happy for him. I mean, they're doing such good things.
He's
right?
Awesome. Absolutely. Absolutely. Matt's a great guy, man. He's like salt of the earth kind of fellow that like just do really doing what he says, you know, and that's hard to find nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's just that guy. And I told my wife a little while ago, I was upstairs, I said, man, I really wish I had taken time to hang out with him more, you know, just in previous years. And, you know, I said, from when this is all said and done and blown over, I'm going to make sure I do that more because he's such a good dude. I just like him. I just like
him. He's an amazing dude. I wasn't there when he was there, and I was super bummed because he's a rad dude.
On the show, right, when we did Elite Chef, I know you weren't there. It was exactly. An episode that you weren't a part of, but that's okay. He was there. He sat in as the chef. It was great. You know, hopefully if all this has passed, we'll do that again in the fall. That's the plan, at least.
We're going to be. I mean, I'm not worried. I know everyone's really freaking out right now, but deep breaths and things will pass. You know, tomorrow always comes. The sun's always shining. You know, until that all stops, I think we're going to be all right.
Yeah. Well, the good news is about this awfulness that's going on in the world right now is that, China reported no new cases for the first time. There was no cases reported today. Finally, like, we're at that point. Long road for those guys. And you know, believe what you want to about that, but either way, I feel bad for the families that are dealing with it, with their grandparents and things like that. I don't care who you are, that's terrible. But at least they had no new cases reported today. That's good news.
That's amazing news. I mean, obviously, we wanted to just go away completely everywhere. It's good news, and we should look at what China did to make those numbers go down. I mean, they were in, 100,000 or almost 100,000 cases at one point, and, you know, they really, really locked down, severely locked down, and by force in some cases, and they pushed it back. So, I mean, we should really think about that next time you're going out.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I'm just seeing a post right now that Tom Colicchio put up. Very interesting. I got tagged in it by someone. It says, if you work in restaurants or care at all about the hardworking individuals in the industry, please call your representative and senators. You can be connected to the Capitol switchboard at, and it gives a phone number. Demand that we are part of the federal stimulus plan. I think we are. I mean, am I wrong about that, Jeffy? I mean, we started talking about this last night. Are we wrong?
Yeah. I didn't see anything that said, like, oh, if you're a restaurant owner, you know, we're going to take care of you. I didn't see that.
They've been talking about small business owners, and, of course, they've been constantly talking about everyone who's losing money right now, tipped employees and things like that, trying to help out with that stuff. And, you know, we'll talk more about this later, Rob, getting it, you know, unemployment for people and things of that nature. But, I mean, I don't know what else they wanted to do. They're doing away with having to pay rent. They're doing away, I mean, with mortgage payments, which is going to mean no rent. I mean, what else do you want them to do? They're doing the best they can. I mean, I really feel that way. Well, I'm not trying to defend the government.
I think you're right on to it. And that is, you know, everyone's freaking out. And, you know, they just want to feel safe. And they want to know that, you know, whatever it is that's going to happen, they're going to be okay. And right now, with people losing their jobs and with restaurants not knowing what's going to come tomorrow, you know, I've talked to some good brothers out there that own different restaurants, butcher shops, you know, bars, and they don't know, you know, day to day. It's like they're making just enough money now to kind of keep the lights on. And they're saying stuff like 2 weeks more unless something changes, you know, 3 weeks more. Unless something changes, and I'm going to be completely broke and I won't know what to do. So I think when people are faced with those kind of challenges, they start to tweak, you know, and it's like nothing can happen fast enough, you know, because you need that shit yesterday. And I think that's the pressure that we're all feeling, and that's the pressure that, you know, and the other thing is we're in this, what, like this immediate answer kind of frame of mind. You know, we're so used to being able to click a button and get anything we want. And so we're like, mashing the button, like, hey, where's my fucking unemployment, or where's my whatever? And when it's not right there in front of you, people are like, well why not?
Yeah, man, we should try to do is
a hard thing to fathom.
We should try to get some of these representatives. We should reach out and see if we can get, you know, 10 minutes with one next week to ask this question, to get it clarified.
That'd be great. Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
I bet we could probably get somebody. We could pre-record it if we had to. Do it whenever.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I think we should do that. Just to get some answers. I mean, I think there's a little bit stuff that's unclear. I think it's all unclear. I think everything's unclear right now, but, you know.
I think, I was just going to say, I think people are extremely unclear about the future, and I think that's, you know, I mean, no one likes not knowing where their next meal is going to come from, or where their next paycheck is going to come from, or where they're going to live in a month if they don't have money, you know. And,
right.
You know, my heart really goes out. There's a lot of people. I mean, my wife included has been getting laid off regularly. She works for herself. She's a massage therapist. But, you know, she's had clients call her recently and just being like, hey, sorry. You know, thank God I still have my job. But, you know,
she's not going to go to anybody's house now. That's for sure.
No, but it's still the fact. But it's like even though it's like, you know, indefinite, you know, she might not do a massage for 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of our money. Now, you know, it's part of the nut.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
I mean, everyone's going to feel this stress, I think, big and small. You know, I mean, people laugh about like the trillions of dollars people are losing on the top, you know, oh, but they'll still have a million. But I mean, they're still losing, you know, and it's just like everybody, it's all relative. Like everyone's losing their ass right now.
Absolutely.
You know? So,
I mean, listen, 100% couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, making their way, well, hey. Jeff, do you hear that?
I do.
Wow.
One of my favorites now.
This is early. Who saw this coming? Dave, are you with us?
Yo.
Wow. Dave, the coronavirus has got you on time. How did that happen?
I think it's like got everything kind of flipped upside down. It's like a bizarre world type of virus.
Wow. Wow. Dave, you're in the heart of it in New York City right now. Is it just a ghost town outside?
I mean, like around this time, pretty much, yeah.
How about that? And the amount of people losing jobs in the city is crazy. Did you tell me something earlier today, Dave? Like, was it Steven Starr? Which restaurant group were you talking about earlier today to me?
Oh, it was Danny Meyer.
Danny Meyer, right.
Yeah, Union Square. It was like just that company alone was 2,000 people. Laid off.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, do people, I don't know if they understand like how much drain that has on, you know, unemployment and trying to get that. I think the New York unemployment office has 700 people who work there currently. And I mean, that's just an insane amount of people to have to deal with on their own, not on top, just not even including the, you know, the 2,000 from Danny Meyer's group. I mean, Wow. Wow. That's, Jeff, I mean, what do people do?
That's a good question. What do people do? You know, I think people just have to take deep breaths, and I think you have to be really consistent and persistent. You know, everyone's going to be on hold. If there's 100,000 people that need unemployment, it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks to get through all those people. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just what it is. I mean, everyone, they're not looking to deny anyone benefits right now. I mean, everyone needs to take a deep breath and know that. It's just a matter of getting those benefits. And I know that that sucks. And it, hopefully that there's going to be enough things to, you know, enough people to be able to help you get through until you can get the benefits that you need, whoever it is that is out there. You know, I just think that it's a really shitty situation, man. I'm trying to be positive, but it's stressful. And my heart goes out to everybody who's in it.
Yeah. So before we run to commercial break, and tonight we've got a great guest. Alexandra Aura is joining us tonight. Her story is amazing. Former Olympian. The reason we have a female bobsled team is because of her. She's a fucking ninja, cage fighter. I mean, and all the good she's done. She's written 20-some books. I'm going to let her tell the story because it's such a great story. But and such a very, very cool person. I'm glad I got to meet a couple months back. And happy I can call her a friend now. But one of the things before I want to bring up before we head to break and get Alexandra on is that in Connecticut, it just passed today. Everyone here was pushing for it really hard for restaurants to be able to serve cocktails and beer to go, which, hey,
yeah,
great. You know, you can go pick up food to go, but you also can get cocktails to go. Like, let me get a pitcher of margaritas to take with me. It just seems so counterintuitive when you think about it, but I mean, they're trying to just help restaurants get any sales they can get. I mean, Dave, would you grab cocktails on the same, you know, trip as getting those burgers to go?
Yeah, like two birds, one stone.
Not bad, right? Not bad. Jeff, what do you think?
I think it's a great thing. I think being able to grab some cocktails, get them delivered, you know, you don't have to leave an easy chair. I think that's great for a lot of restaurants who can't normally sell bottles of wine. I think that's going to be a great way for them to try to make up some of that money that they can't make selling food, is maybe trying to get, you know, peddle off some whole bottles of wine to people. You know, like I said, I just hope everyone can think outside of the box and take advantage of all these little things that are coming down the pike to try to help us out.
Yeah, but here's the thing that's interesting. We thought about getting takeout tonight, and this is, I mean, it just in all honesty, my wife is a little bit nervous. She's like, you know, I'm still a little hesitant to do that, and it's hard for me to argue that with her. I mean, everybody, these people have been in contact with, I don't know. Like, I was like, listen, it's fine, but if there's any question mark at all and it makes you feel weird, we won't do it. And so we didn't. But how do I make her feel better about that, Dave?
I don't know.
I mean, Jeff, do you have any idea? Because she's not wrong, you know?
I mean, no, she's not wrong. She's definitely not wrong. But at the same time, you gotta, you know, we can't be living in fear. You know, we can't let, put it this way. If you support the restaurant and you believe that they're like a good enough restaurant to eat at normally, you should really trust and believe that these good brothers and sisters that are working there are taking the extra steps to make sure that you're safe so that they can sell you food, feed people, and do what they do. You know, no one's back there fucking around at this point, playing games, not wearing gloves, not cleaning, not washing their hands. I mean, I can't imagine anyone is doing anything like that. I mean, this has gotten to the point where, I mean, dude, there's no sports, you know? I mean, people are tweaking, you know? It's like, so, you know, I don't know. I would happily eat at restaurants.
I agree with you, bro. I mean, what you're saying is what I told her.
Yeah, you know, I had a hard time. I went to a supermarket, and you know, they still had the salad bar open, and they still had all the hot soup things out, and that freaked me out. The amount of people that were going up there and getting the hot soup and getting shit out of the salad bar still, I was like, guys. And I just, like, you know, I didn't say anything. I went over and bought some of the soups for some of the guys that I was working with, the cold ones. I told them, like, hey, I'm not going to get it hot because that's creepy right now.
Right.
And they were like, oh, I was like, yeah, sorry, I'm not trying to be a dick. It's just no bueno.
At least you could bring it up to temp, you know, on your own and kill any germs, if at all, that are in
there. Exactly right. Exactly right. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Damn. What a weird conversation we're having on the fucking program. We usually have great guests and make dick jokes, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty funny that, you know, this is it.
This is our world right now, man. But I do believe it's just right now. I don't think it's forever. I don't think it's a long term. I believe it's right now, and I believe it's going to be weird for a little bit, but it's going to be back to normal. We'll all have a great summer. I'm not concerned. We'll get through this weird time. The best thing you can do is just stay home. Just stay home. I mean, your power's not going to be turned off. You'll have internet. Just stay home. By the way, did you guys see that? Which is interesting, too. I know we got to go to break, but the government was asking Netflix to please stream in standard definition so the internet doesn't, I'm doing air quotes, break. How funny is that? Nothing? Either one of you on that?
So they don't want to stream in
HD because it uses too much bandwidth.
I mean, I'm paying for HD.
Too many people doing it?
What'd you say? Jeff, what'd you say?
I was just confused. There's too many people watching Netflix at once. Is that the idea? That's why they want to go to standard?
Yeah, because, well, everybody's at home, so the internet bandwidth is being used tremendously right now.
That is freaking crazy.
And they're like, please.
That's not something I thought we would hear.
Streaming services, please stream in SD definition, not in HD. The bandwidth usage is becoming too heavy.
Whoa.
Crazy, right? I don't know, man.
That's messed up.
That's the world we live in. Listen, it's like we used to do this program on Blog Talk Radio. It's too much bandwidth. It's why it would crash all the time. You're trying to fit too much stuff in a tiny little pipe. That's what's happening now. The pipes, so to speak, are just not big enough anymore. Anyway, more on that later, that's for sure. Tonight, you guys, we got a great program. Alexandra Alder is here. She's hanging out with us, talking about her whole stories, and it's positivity. It's an awesome female positivity story, but positivity in general is how I like to think about it. And I'm hanging out. I got Chef Jeff hanging out. We know that you're trapped in the house, so Chef Dave is actually on time for the program. But we're here. We're going to tell some great stories. We're going to have a few laughs in there. You know what we do here on Plum Loaf Foods Live, so stay right there. And we'll be right back with our guest, Alexandra Allred. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy, Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, and, of course, Chef Dave. We'll see you guys in just a second. Hang tight. We'll be right back, guys.
Every 100 years, an idea comes along that changes the way we think.
One small step for man, one giant step for
man. It molds us as people, outlines social norms, and brings us full circle in life.
Go ahead, son. Fetch that cleaver and stump. It's time to take out that cock.
Mommy, where does chicken meat come from?
Yeah, how do we kill these chicken to eat now when we raise them, Trevor?
A dream turned into a reality. So inspiring, so creative, it needs no introduction. Chef tested, poultry farmer approved, and endorsed by the Church of Jesus and Latter-day Saints. Introducing Cock Blocks. The first cutting board guillotine designed to lock in that cock just before you lop its top. Comes complete with ergodynamic blood pool, adjustable leather straps, 3 blade choices, and a face splatter shield just in case. Now you can take your cock harvesting to the next level. Take it to Cock Blocks.
Order now online, www.cockblocks.com. That's blocks with triple X. The first 100 orders will receive a free child-size splatter shield.
A sizzle plate product.
Oh yeah, Dave, Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco, and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM. That's ErgoChef.com. Coming back live right here. Plum Love Foods live on a Thursday. The real program. Chef Plum, Chef Jeffy, and of course, Chef Dave's joining us tonight, gentlemen. Yo, it's a weird world we live in, man. I thought that tonight, Jeffy, it'd be exciting to have a really good, positive, uplifting story kind of come on, you know, like something a little bit different. I know we've been doing pop-up shows all week and talking about the doom and gloom. Actually, we haven't been doom and gloom, have we? We've been pretty positive. No?
I think we've been a good mix of doom and gloom and positivity and some truth bombs all wrapped in there.
Yeah,
but
sure.
You've been talking about our guest tonight since you were down in Texas, man. You've been asking when we're going to get her on, and she got shuffled back, and I'm so happy that we finally got her on. I'm really excited to hear her story.
Oh man, absolutely. So our guest tonight, Alexandra Allred, I got a chance to meet her, this amazing human being. I got some time to spend in Texas. I guess back in November, and Alexandra kindly invited me to come down to a festival she was doing for a big charity event for a group called Bridges, and got to spend time with some pretty amazing kids, judge some great barbecue, and also meet Alex. And hearing her story and seeing all the good she's doing really was inspiring to see. And so I thought it's a great story to share on this program. When you find somebody as awesome and positive and wonderful as she is, more people need to know as much as humanly possible. I mean, the reason we have a female bobsled team is because of her. She's basically a samurai and a ninja rolled up into one. She's written so many books. She's had a movie put out. I mean, this woman has done everything, all while doing so many amazing things in the community where she lives down in Texas. Please, ladies and gentlemen, friends, welcome Alexandra Allred to the program. Alex, pleasure to have you on. We're so excited to talk to you.
Oh, I am just laughing at some of what you're saying. Oh, man, you built me up. I don't know what to do now.
You know, listen, I'm not making any of this shit up. This is all literally your life sounds like a series on Amazon Prime. That's what it sounds like. I mean,
I'm really glad to be here. So thanks for having me. You're awesome. Well, I love meeting you.
You were awesome, and I appreciate the invite down to Texas. We had such a great time down there and doing that event and meeting all the kids and the high school kids that were there where they were competing. You made me eat a lot of cupcakes. You made me eat a lot of barbecue. My plan was to go out and ride a mechanical bull that night, but I didn't. I stayed in my hotel room and felt sick from overeating. So thanks for that.
Yeah, no problem. We'll do it again this year, too.
I hope so. It was a great time. Alex, first, I want to start with the basics. I mean, just to kind of put a little frame around you and what you do. And, you know, on this podcast, it's generally all about food, but we've had some pretty amazing guests on, and you're definitely on the top of that list for sure. Your story about the bobsled team is one that it was like 6 a.m. and you're driving me to the airport and you're telling me the story, and I'm in the back seat and you're in the front, and our friend Chef Michelle is in the front seat, and my jaw is on the floor hearing you tell the story. It's phenomenal. I mean, you've probably told it 1,000 times, but would you mind telling the boys here? Cause it's pretty amazing.
Well, and if I remember right, I think I made a passing reference. I said something about fighting.
Yeah.
And I just remember the conversation went a few more minutes, and then I hear this voice in the back seat, and you said, I'm sorry, did you just say something about fighting?
Because yeah.
Michelle was, it was nothing. She could have cared less.
Right. I was like, well, okay. You were a cage fighter or some shit. It was nuts.
Well, this was, and to be completely accurate, I got into fighting when you know, like today, you know, Ronda Rousey, you know, Amanda Nunes, that's the norm. I mean, it's not right. A big surprise, but And I got to say, too, they would have destroyed me. I believe that. I got in when it was even pre-cage fighting. It was before, really, they didn't know where to put women. That was my time when I was in, where there was really very few rules. So my nickname was the Headhunter, just because I didn't want to mess around too much with boxing and fighting. I always went for the head.
Yeah.
So that was kind of that was my thing. But
what style were you training in?
I started off with traditional Taekwondo. So if you know anything about Taekwondo,
all foot.
And quickly realized that, you know, that's not street fighting.
Mm-mm.
And so I wound up doing a whole bunch of different styles. I always go back to Taekwondo when I teach self-defense and kickbox. But we sprinkled in a lot of street fight, because the traditional Taekwondo, you'd get your ass handed to you because, you know, you're standing there. You don't understand how to grapple. And once you're down on the ground, you're kind of done.
Yeah, but if you land one of those kicks, it's over.
Yeah, a well-placed shot to the temple usually takes care of things pretty quickly.
I love it. And you actually, you fought competitively a little bit, right?
I did. I fought competitively. I even fought a couple of men, and I'm happy to say I never lost a bout. So I got to go out without any real damage done.
Jeff, that's my friend. How about that? She's in Texas. How about
I love
that?
It. Are you
badass.
Kidding? That is badass.
And this is the thing that I think is just so cool, like that whole mentality that you have. And, you know, obviously, you grew up a military kid, right, kind of moving all over the place. So you're a pretty tough kid to begin with. But I think a lot of that – no, please, go ahead. Sorry, I'm telling your story.
I was just going to say this past week especially, I've had a lot of flashbacks to Russia, because I lived in Russia as a kid, and you know, you'd be out and about and you'd see a long line of Soviets, and you know, you'd go up and ask them, what are you in line for? And most of the time they'd say, I don't know. But you know, in 1970 communist Russia, if there was a line, people just got in it because they were hoping to get toilet paper or, you know, anything, just anything. And so it's kind of that same feel, like, now you walk into these stores, walk into Walmart, and then everything's empty, and it kind of takes me back to those days where you just have to patiently wait for a shipment to come in to get you don't know what.
Oh my God.
That's kind of where we are now, but
I hope
you guys are right.
That's terrible.
It'll turn around. Yeah.
Well, I think that mentality that you had is kind of one of the things that got you to be so aggressive with the bobsled thing. I mean, can you talk about that, about how when you were little and watching the bobsled on TV, not you weren't little, but when you were younger watching the whole bobsled thing on television?
Yeah, in fact, I just had a kid. I had my 5-month-old baby in my arms, and I was watching ESPN because I just love sports, and I was watching men's bobsled, and I thought, man, that's the coolest crap I've ever seen in my life. And so I waited for the women because I wanted to see it, and then they didn't. And so I looked into it. I wondered, where are there female bobsledders? And then I found out that no, in fact, women were banned from the sport because they said the sleds are too heavy, the speeds are too fast, the sport's too dangerous. And I called a big bullshit on that one because, I mean,
well, that's not going to sit well with you.
Yeah, no, so I actually called up the Federation, the U.S. Bobsled and Skeleton Federation, and basically said, I promise you, I'm stronger than most of your bobsled men, which is really cocky of me to do, but I was just pissed. And so I started writing a whole bunch of letters to the IOC and the USOC, and finally I got a phone call, and basically, you know, they were saying, we're going to have our first ever female camp, are you coming, big mouth? And at that point, what do? You know, you got to be like, yeah, I'll be there. And I hung up the phone and thought, holy crap, because I'd never even been in a bobsled. So I trained for a couple of months, and then I went up there and kept making cut after cut. And in September 1994 was the first U.S. Nationals, and I was pregnant with my second kid. I was clocked at running a little over 20 miles an hour and squatting 375 free weight, and I won U.S. Nationals 4 months pregnant. So there you go.
Dude. I mean... Jeff, how crazy is that, right?
I'm just trying to digest what you just said.
Oh, and PS,
I gotta be honest,
she's a killer.
I'm scared to get on a bobsled. Just in
yeah, general. It was funny because they test you in the sled, and you know you're timed. It's a timing eye. How fast can you move out this 375-pound sled? And when I came back and I had the winning time, it was funny because a bunch of women were protesting because there was two of me in the sled.
Oh, come on.
Because I was pregnant.
Well,
yuckity yuck yuck.
I have to ask you, I don't know if anyone's ever asked you this, but, you know, I'm a father. I have three kids. Like, you know, I know that you're a mother and you were pregnant then. I mean, were you worried about that? If there was a bad accident, couldn't that have been really bad for the fetus, for the baby?
So I did work with, he's since passed away, but he's the foremost renowned researcher in obstetrics and sports, and he'd only ever done marathon runners and biathletes, and he heard through the grapevine that there was this idiot woman bobsledding, and he brought me into the Cleveland study, and he basically... Everything I did was monitored by these guys. And so I kind of, that's a great question you ask, because I really did have sort of a false sense of security because I was constantly being monitored. I mean, I wore everything, and they were my EKG leads, everything. And so I felt confident in what I was doing. But you have to remember, so with my third kid, I earned my second black belt while I was pregnant with him. So, you know, I never did anything where I thought they would hurt them, but I always felt pretty strong in what I was doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I sparred when I was pregnant.
There's no question about that, but, I mean, Alex, how fast do these bobsleds go? I mean, if there was an accident, you can wear all the EKGs you want. That's terrible. Like, that's dangerous.
Well, I got to tell you that, so I wasn't, at that point, when I was into my second trimester, I was out of the sled.
Okay.
And so I wasn't sliding. Yeah, no, you're right. I would have never done that. In fact, there was a couple times that we had a scare just with, I don't know how much you guys know, I don't want to turn this into a biology lesson, but...
No, we're real good. We all got, Jeff's got kids, I got kids, we're good.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah. So the baby is 1 degree Celsius hotter than the mom. And unlike the mom, the baby has no way to sweat. So if your inner core temperature drives up, and most people don't even realize things that you do that can really just spike an inner core temperature. So a couple times when I was training, I actually spiked my inner core temperature, which almost got Katie into the danger zone, and I had to pull out. And I have to tell you something funny too is, you know, for all the stuff that I've done, I have had so many people walk up to me and say, oh, you know, so-and-so-and-so is pregnant, and I was reading your article, and I didn't know that you... that the research on you was all about the rectal thermometer. And so I was thinking, you know, for all the stuff that I've done, and I'm famous for the rectal thermometer, that's just so wrong.
I think that's a win. I mean, literally, if you're going to be famous for something, right? I mean, hey.
You know, it's funny that you're famous. You know,
yeah,
Dave's also
I can think of quite a few other things besides wanting to be known for that. But, like, the IOC, there was so little data. Because no one was ever studied doing squatting 375 and running 20 miles an hour and that kind of stuff. So a big part of the study all became about the rectal thermometer and my spike in inner core temperature.
I have so many questions that I'm sure are not appropriate. Like, I just can't help it. Like, that's how so you're squatting 7,000 pounds clearly. And I mean, listen, for those of you who don't know Alex, she's not a big person. I mean, how tall are you? 5'6", 5'8"?
Yeah, 5'6".
Yeah, 5'6". I mean, she's not a giant human being. And I mean, she's bench pressing me and another person there, which is just crazy. I mean, deadlifting, excuse me, which is crazy. And you're doing it all while having a rectal thermometer, which is, hey, more power to you. It's funny because Jeff was saying Dave's a big rectal thermometer fan actually too. He walks around with him just in there to maintain his temperature to keep he knows where he's at, right, Dave?
Core.
All right,
yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Taking those stairs, yeah. So when I bowed out, you know, at that time when I bowed out, so one of the things that really sucked was after I won, and you know, Sports Illustrated was there and they did a story on me and. the director of the Bobsled Federation walks up to me and says, you know, this doesn't mean anything, right? And I thought, well,
wait, slow down real quick. Slow down real quick. You did win, right? I'm trying to remember. You did. You told me the story. Like, you did. You medaled, right?
Yes. Yeah, I got. So they put this gold around my neck, you know, and then he walked up to me and says, you know, this doesn't mean anything. Women are never going to get in the Olympic Games.
Oh, fuck that guy.
And, yeah, so while my teammates were overseas sliding and I had stepped back because of my pregnancy, I started talking to the IOC, and I found out that we needed to have at least 8 countries that would be willing to compete and put up athletes. And so I just started, you know, this is pre-internet, so I was faxing all these different countries all the time, and I basically just kind of got a whole bunch of countries together, and we all started competing, and I wrote the U.S. bylaws. When they told me that we couldn't get equipment or sled because we didn't have U.S. bylaws, I said, all right, freak, I'll do it. So I sat down and wrote the U.S. bylaws for the women's program and got us sponsors, and 1998, they announced that we made the Olympic Games. So it was pretty awesome. It was an amazing journey.
I mean, Dave, does it really make you want to be like, what did you do today?
Pretty much. Yeah, I'm sitting here, I was like, compared to that, I haven't done anything today.
It's crazy. Jeff, I mean, how awesome is she, right? Like, this, who has a story like this? This is crazy.
Dude, that's insane.
You guys know it's usually like one thing you do sets off something else, which sets off something else. So, and that's how I got into writing, because Sports Illustrated had followed my career, and so after I retired, they called and asked if I wanted to try out for a women's professional football team. So I said, yeah. So they flew me down to Austin, and I played for for the Austin Rage. I was a defensive end for the Austin Rage, and I played and then wrote about it, and that was fun. And if you ever saw Wonder Woman, the movie Wonder Woman,
yeah,
the character Artemis, you gotta Google and look up Artemis, and the woman who played it, her name, yeah, Anne Rice. And in real life, Anne Rice is a boxer. And when I met her, she'd just gotten out of prison. No, I'm not being funny. She'd just gotten out of prison, and she is the only professional female boxer who's also successfully fought and won against a guy. And I think it was Alabama was the only state that would allow that. But so I'm still pretty quick, I guess, for my bobsled days. And so we're playing football and we're running some drills, and I'm tagging the quarterback, and I don't realize that I'm pissing off Ann Wolf.
Uh-oh.
And there's a play, the play's on the other side of the field, so I'm kind of standing there and just, bam! I mean, I see sky grass. I thought a freaking bus hit me. So I popped up and kind of moved to the side. They were still trying to decide, and Sports Illustrated had told me I had to pick my own merit, so they couldn't know that I was there with Sports Illustrated. And I walked off and I don't know what hit me. Seriously, I didn't know what hit me. And Coach walks up to me and she goes, heard you got hit by Ann Wolf. And I was like, yeah, you know, when I was thinking, is that what that was? I thought it was a bus. And then she says, heard you popped up too. And I said, yeah, you know, that's just how it is. And I was thinking, yeah, because shit, I thought it was coming back to run me over again. But that's my buddy Ann Wolf, and that, and you got to check her out because she is.
Did you want to talk about it?
Yeah. Well, she also dislocated my arm and broke 3 of my fingers, but after that, it was all good. Yeah.
Wow. Listen, true and friendship. Then,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. No. No. I mean, you know, you got to have mad respect for that. So.
Oh my God. Please go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, just to kind of wind it all up, then Volvo Magazine,
yeah,
they had a meeting, I guess, in London, and they were wanting somebody to test drive their brand-new Gravity car. And the way the story was told to me is they said, you know, it'd be awesome if we had somebody who was like a luge or bobsled, but also a writer. And so somebody Googled it, and my name popped up,
yeah.
So I got to fly out to Orange County, California, and test drive the Volvo's brand new Gravity car.
Wow, what the hell is a gravity car?
It's really cool. You got to look it up. So it is, it's, you're kind of stretched out like you're in the position of Superman flying, but you're real low to the ground.
Oh,
and okay. It's, you basically took it up with, like big hills, or in the, we were up in the mountains. And the only thing that sucked was that they didn't want their Yamaha and Kawasaki and their competitors to know, so they didn't close down the highway.
Oh
my God. So I'm like, looking up at the underbelly of cars that are passing me when I'm going down this mountain. Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, it was crazy, but it was a blast. It was a blast. But yeah, so that was kind of what got me into writing. And yeah, those were good times.
It's good times. That's kind of, I mean, listen, win Olympic gold medal, play professional football, drive a gravity car. Yeah, it's just good times. It's just good times, Jeffy. That's all that is.
And
yeah, Jeff, throw a plug out there for us so people can find out more about Alex on our website and stuff.
Absolutely. You want to go to Alexandra Aldrich. I'm messing up your name. Allred, AlexandraAllred.com and www.13able.com if you want to find more about her.
And we're going to talk more about the charity stuff and all the amazing work that you do now and the teachings that you do, but... I was serious though. How fast does a bobsled go with? I mean, it's three people in it, right?
Two. So people. Men have two man and four man teams, and the women have two, but we're fighting to get four. But I when I was doing it was two, and it, you know, it goes anywhere from, and it doesn't sound this fast, but when you're in it, you're thinking, holy crap, I'm going 200 miles an hour. But we had the, if you like NASCAR, we had the Bodine brothers come out, and Jeff Bodine rode down in a sled with us. We were in a four-man, and as soon as we got out, you know, those guys go 220 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got to the end of the track, and he jumped out and threw his, it was hilarious because he threw his helmet down and said, "You motherfuckers are crazy. I'm never getting in this one again." It's so low down to the ground, and when the gravity hits, they'll tell you, like, if you guys were to get into a sled, the first thing I'd say to you is, look, just separate your legs and kind of get your head down as far as you can, because we're going to hit some G's and your face is going to hit the bottom of the sled, and you're thinking, there's no way my face is going to go down that far. And you hit those G's, and the next thing you know, your face is just smashed to the bottom. The highest point on your body are your two knees poking up, because your head is all the way down on the floor of the bobsled.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the gravities that get you.
Wow. So do you think that Jeff and Dave and I could make a – could you train us to be on a bobsled team?
That would be my dream. That would be awesome.
Dave, are you in? I mean, we're. I mean, you've met me. You see me, Alex. I'm 6'3" almost.
Like,
you know,
it's like we're all large, like Shrek, though.
We're all large gentlemen. I mean,
we can enter as a four-man team, though.
Oh, we could be a four-man team. Yeah. That's true. Wow, what an amazing story. It's so cool, and just to, I mean, have those experiences in your life. I mean, do your kids think you're the coolest person ever?
You know, my kids are just so used to me. It's more fun when their friends like to hear stories, but my kids are like, ugh.
Right.
You know, there she goes again.
Well,
They do. They hear a lot of stories.
I want to talk a little bit about your kids, because your kids are kind of the beginning of the philanthropy work that you've been doing. I mean, I think. You know, through your son and what was going on down there in Texas, and you know, that if you could tell some of that story, that'd be great, just to kind of give a little groundwork for it.
Well, my kids are my everything, and they are awesome. They're awesome kids. So I love to do a lot of stuff with them, and kind of because of them, both my daughters were, it's called, you know, Partner PE, and in public school, you know, we try to pair general population kids with those who have some kind of special needs. And so I already knew a lot of the stories, but you met Chris Zettner, right? The
yes.
Kid who can, yeah.
The dates,
and,
right?
And so for you guys listening, there was this kid named Chris Sepner, who he's savant. I mean, you can say to him, hey, Chris, what day is February 27th, 2036? And he'll know.
Yeah.
He never breaks close. Yeah, so I met Chris, and then after I met Chris, I started to find out that what most people don't know is after these guys graduate from high school, and they don't get a diploma, they get a certificate of achievement, which, okay, but at 21, they age out of the public school system, and so suddenly you have these kids who have Down syndrome and cerebral palsy and, you know, learning disabilities of whatever magnitude. And their whole life they've been in public school and they've had schedules and friends and bus trips and all these stuff. And at 21, it goes away. And most of these families are so financially strapped that, you know, what are they going to do? And a lot of them are single parent homes. And so the kids, young adults, I should say, just they sit. They literally sit in their house. And if they're fortunate enough to know how to work a remote, that's their life.
Right.
You know, and so I always say to people, you know, wouldn't it be great if you could just stay home for a couple of days and do nothing? Yeah, yeah. And then you say, well, look at you guys right now. You're all homebound, but, you know, imagine it for the rest of your life. And so I just said, that's bullcrap. That can't be okay. And so I invited him to my gym, and it was like 6 years ago, and I give free fitness classes to all these young adults, and I was getting phone calls from people 50 miles away because they just didn't have another place to take their kid. And when they found out that I was doing something for free, they just wanted in. And you know, I teach them kickboxing, and, you know, I pretend to yell at them. I'll call them a bunch of babies and whiny, you know, and they love it because they've never had anybody tell them they're a bunch of, you know, you're a bunch of losers, you know, and so I'll yell at them and make new stuff, and they love it. They absolutely love it. And then after that, I got connected with Bridges, which is a nonprofit organization where they try to do job training and help them find jobs.
Yeah.
So I do the fitness end, and then they started this fundraiser, which is the Big Barbecue Bash, which is how I met Chef Plum.
Well, listen, that's a really amazing, amazing event. This year when I got to be there, the amount of barbecue teams that were there, Alex, I mean, it was like 2 square miles of just barbecue trailers. It's insane. It's crazy talk.
Yeah. I forgot the number now. It was over 200 teams, right? Is
yeah.
that right?
Wasn't it the biggest barbecue competition in Texas that year?
It was the largest that the state of Texas has ever had. And it was, it was insane.
Mm. And then sitting at the tables. So Jeff and Dave, it was one of those competitions where it's like officially sanctioned and you sit at the table, and I've judged a lot of food contests and a lot of wing contests and hot sauce contests and barbecue contests in my life. But sitting at this table, you know, usually it's fun. You hang out, you make jokes, you drink, whatever. Alex and I are sitting across from each other, and we're joking and smiling and being stupid, and I'm being me, you know. And next thing I know, they put the first thing of food down in front of us. Alex, do you remember that judge came up and told us both to shut the hell up? Do you remember?
Yeah.
She was like, stop
talking.
Yeah,
and then she was covering the part. You remember I had shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
And so I still have my arm in a sling, so she was hovering nearby, so if I couldn't cut a piece of meat, she'd kind of cut it for me.
Right.
And I'm not a chef, so after the 560th piece of chicken I had, I wasn't sure if I was liking it or anymore, so I'd sit there and I'd look at Chef Plum, see what kind of face he made, and then that's how I scored my chicken.
That's a solid move. I'll tell you right now, listen, if I could bring either Jeff or Dave, you get to come with me this year just to, you know, be a part or whatever, these two guys would be in heaven eating barbecue. I mean, I don't know if Jeff would judge barbecue the entire day.
Yeah.
Oh, hell
yeah.
We have to make it happen. Hell yes.
Such a fun event. But what the greatest part about that is the amount of kids that are there, the amount of people that are there, and just a really fun event. I'm so glad that, you know, our good sister Michelle, Chef Michelle Ragusas, a great friend of mine, you know, introduced me to you and got us hooked up, because to hear your stories and just how inspirational they are, and literally, like, you hear the things that she's done, and it, it just makes me think that my days aren't that hard, you know, when I hear you tell your stories. And I've told my daughters your stories. I've told everybody the stories. I just think it's so incredible the things that you've done.
Well, you know, on a more serious note, you know, the things happen for a reason. And I only just started recently talking about this, but when I was 18, I was violently assaulted. And that's how I kind of got into martial arts. Wow. And so, you know, the one thing that I tell, I speak to a lot of groups, and the one thing I always tell people is, you know, something really terrible happens to you. In this case, you know, I really was looking at being killed. I was pretty sure that I was going to be killed.
Wow.
And you flash forward, and I got into martial arts, and that is actually why I was so aggressive. I never saw a counselor. I never did any kind of therapy. Martial arts was my therapy, so I kicked serious ass.
Nice.
I had issues to work through. And so I did. I partnered with, they reached a point where I didn't fight with women because they didn't want me to hurt anybody. So I was fighting men and I was just tearing it up. And I don't say that to be braggadocious. I just kind of had to work through some issues. Wow. And then as it turned out, I was quite talented. If you know martial arts, you know that there's something called the Battle of Atlanta in Georgia every year. And it's like the Super Bowl of martial arts.
Okay.
And I actually went to the Battle of Atlanta and fought there. And so I was really deep into it. I was very aggressive. But then because of that, all these other things opened up. You know, I had the confidence to say, I'm going to be on the first women's bobsled team. No, never mind. I've never been in a bobsled in my whole life. You know, stuff like that. So, you know, you just have to, it's perspective. And so that's kind of where my story actually started there, is that it was something really bad. And, you know, I owned it and then kind of turned it around. And now I get to give back to people all the time. And I give free self-defense classes to women anytime I can, just because.
Well, I know it's probably a tough thing to talk about, but obviously I have questions, so you can tell me to shut up and I'll stop talking about it. But did you know the person?
I did, and that's how you, not well,
yeah.
But that's how it usually is, you know, more often than not, which is why I tell people as part of my self-defense, when women will say, well, that's why I carry, and I say, that's a load of crap. Because the reality is that most women who are assaulted by someone they know, a relative, a coworker, a friend, a neighbor. So you're not thinking about pulling out your gun. So your gun is wasted crap in your purse.
Right.
And so I'm not saying that guns couldn't help somebody, for sure, if I had somebody walking to me. But, and my daughters grew up with me knowing martial arts. In fact, my son-in-law, side note, when he was getting pretty serious with my daughter when they were first dating, the first thing I said to my daughter is, my kids know, don't worry about daddy, worry about mama. And so I told Mary, I said, have him come to kickbox class. So she brought my son-in-law to, or my soon-to-be son-in-law to kickbox, and I had us partner up on bags. And I looked over at him, I said, you're my partner. And so I just had him stand on the side, and I watched. I just wanted him to watch me beat the crap out of the bag in front of him.
Right.
And then say, your turn. So when he left, I just wanted to let him know that was you that I was working out with. So mess with my daughter, and I'm going to kill you.
Holy shit.
Did you
have your daughters train with you ever? Did your daughters go to classes and train?
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell you. So it was kind of cool. Is my daughter was helping me with a self-defense class, and I had this guy, and he had maps, so he was inviting anyone to come up, and he was going to teach you how to flip. And of course, this guy was huge, so
right,
none of
right.
the women wanted to go up. And so I gave the stink eye to my daughter, like, you know, go up there, you know what to do. So as he was talking to the audience about, you know, okay, well, when I come up, I'm going to put my arm, and Carrie, she didn't even wait. She just grabbed his arm and flipped him over her shoulder, and I was like, yeah!
That's awesome. That's awesome. Wow. What a crazy story. The person who did assault you, was there ever charges pressed, and was it ever taken care of, or no?
No, and in fact, if you, your listeners can Google, I actually have a book on Amazon, and it's called Trumping the Rape Culture. Yeah, I use that word on purpose.
Yeah.
And it's Trumping the Rape Culture. And I talk about the fact that it took me so long to be able to talk about this because I didn't report it. And that's not unusual at all. It's more the norm than anything. And so when people, you know, in this last couple of years we've had stuff in the news, you know, when people are always saying, well, if it really happened, why didn't she go? It doesn't work that way. Because you're so consumed with other things in your mind that going and retelling it immediately after it happened to people is not what you want to do. I mean, hell, it took me 20 years.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And every single time you were training, you would see that face, wouldn't you? You would just throw those kicks and punches, and that was the face you were seeing.
Yeah, I used to actually, no kidding, I used to actually have some regrets on some of the people that I beat up, you know, who were men, who were my training partners, who just sort of let me work through it. And I wish I could find some of these guys and just say, thanks. You know, thank you for not going easy on me and letting me work out all my rage, because right. I kind of had to. And he, yeah.
Well, I want to ask this question too, and I know, guys, I'm kind of steamrolling everybody here, but just curious, because I love MMA, I love watching fights, I think it's fantastic. I do, I really really enjoy it. I'm sure you've heard of Fallon Fox, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, that she's the first openly transgender athlete in MMA history. You know, fighting women. You know, because she identifies as a woman. I mean, how do you feel about that? Is that, what do you think? I mean, you can choose not to answer that if you want. I totally understand.
No, I don't have a problem, because I actually feel really strongly about this. Because first of all, I believe, you know, everybody should become who it is that they believe that they are.
Sure.
Absolutely, no problem with that. That said, there's also a South African runner, and she's transgender, and she's cleaning the track. I mean, she's blowing everybody away.
Right.
And my feeling is that it's not fair. So, you know, I never want to take something away from anybody. However, if you were born a male to become a female athlete, it's not cool. It's just not. And I make no apologies for saying that, because there are ways where we are biologically different, and I don't think that she should be in there fighting against female athletes. It's just it's like steroids, you know. It's an unfair advantage, and I just don't think it's right. And I don't say that in any kind of judgment against her decision of becoming who she is. Good on her, but in terms of being, you know, on the field or in the octagon, it's just not right.
Well, I do think there's a lot to be said, too, for great technique. You know, I mean, she fought Ashley Evans, and Ashley Evans is a great fighter. Ashley Evans whipped her ass. And, you know, but that's good. I mean, because as a fighter, she's not that good. I mean, she knocked me out, of course, because I'm not a fighter. I could also cook pasta better than she can. But, you know, it just from...
But we open the door for other sports. And
right.
So then it starts becoming tennis. And so that's kind of why I take a hard stance on that. It's just
right.
Because, you know... That's just how it is.
Jeff, what do you think about that, man? I don't think we've ever really talked about that, have we?
No, I agree. You know, I think that there's I mean, listen, I'm all for people becoming who they are too. I just think the pendulum swings pretty far. It's like there was a comedian, I think he's in Australia, I can't remember his name. He entered like a woman's I think it was like a powerlifting contest or something like that.
Okay.
And like walked on. And was like, they were like, sir, you can't. He's like, excuse me? I'm a woman. I identify as a woman. I don't understand. And they were like, okay then. Excellent. Come on in. And he went in, and he, like, literally destroyed every woman there by, like, hundreds of pounds. And, like, and then walked off and was like, okay, I'm a man again. Thanks. And then, like, you know, made like, the joke, made the point of, like, you know, you shouldn't be able to just say, I'm a man, or I'm a woman, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. You know what I mean? You got to kind of, like... Like there's biological differences, and in competitions, especially, it's like, if you're not going to let everybody take steroids and try to become these giant monsters and have some sort of advantage, you definitely shouldn't allow people to change sex to then get that same advantage. I mean, not that they're doing it for that advantage, but I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the bonus.
Right. Dave, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in line with that. I mean, it's like, it is an advantage. Even with, like, hormone treatment, there's still a pretty big advantage on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, the hormone treatment all day long. Dave, if you decide to be transgender, I mean, you're 6'9", 328 pounds of Twisted Steel and sex appeal. I don't care if you're female or not. You're still going to be 6'9", giant human being. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not just going to, like, automatically get shorter and...
Right.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
You'd
crazy.
You'd be a big, bad lady, Dave.
Yeah, you would. That's your name right there. That's a bumper sticker right there.
Big, bad lady, Dave?
Yep.
I like that.
I like that, too. Alex, I'm pretty sure you could take her, though. I think we should have a match between you and Fallon Fox.
Well, we're going to get you guys to Texas. You have to come. You just... You got
to
see the barbecue bash.
I want to go to Texas more than you know.
Listen.
I love the idea of being in Texas. I love guns. I like whiskey, and I love barbecue.
Well, we got a place for you, buddy.
Listen,
I told you
when I was down there a few months ago. Listen, if I can ever do anything to help you, I want to be a part of it and be there and do it. Just because, listen, you're fantastic, and I love all the good work you're doing. But the kids down there are just so amazing to talk to. Even the high school kids, we got to spend time with, and all the great work, and we didn't even really get into all your books. You've written, how many books have you written now? Like 22 or something like that?
Closing in on 30.
Jesus, really?
Holy cow.
Wow. And your books are not even, like, it's nonfiction and fiction books, right?
Yeah, I started off sports. And so those are the first couple books that I wrote were sports books and then health. And I teach, I'm a adjunct professor at Tarleton State University for kinesiology. So I teach like sports nutrition and human function and functional movement, stuff like that. So I kind of started off with that business, and then I segued into fiction. So a lot of times just in downtime, I like to do fiction.
Unbelievable. So when it's time for me to publish the book I'm working on, you can help me.
Yes. I'm trying to get Michelle to get published.
We've been talking about that with her too. We got I love Michelle. She's like a giant gun. You just have to aim her. That's all you have to do. That's it. You just gotta aim her. And these boys know her very well too.
Oh yeah.
Well, Alex, you're the best. I could talk to you all night long. I feel like you have so many more stories to tell. Like, I want to know about being in the Olympics and like all these things. I mean, you got to come back and hang out with us sometime.
I would love to. Yeah, anytime. You guys, you name it. In fact, I'll tell you this. Before we hang up, I'll tell you
that. So
right now I'm nailing down a whole bunch of Olympic athletes because I'm interested in their food. I'm interested in...
You know
that nutrition is even more important at one point than your actual training regimen.
Absolutely.
And so I want to talk to a lot of these Olympic athletes about their focus on food and how food just sets them up mentally, their mood, because you guys know better than most people that you eat, it's not just about nutrition, but it affects your mood. And so I want to talk to a lot of these athletes. So I'm trying to get athletes from all different disciplines. And, oh my God, I would love for you guys to be in on that project, actually.
Well, I'm going to send you an email. I worked on a project a few years back. It was called Athletes Out to Lunch. And the idea was a chef hanging out with an athlete talking about their, you know, eating and off season, how to stay in shape. I have a sizzle reel for it. I'm going to send it to you right now, as a matter of fact. Check it out. I'd love to hear what you think about it.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah. Love it.
Listen, whatever we can do to help, for sure, you know. I mean, listen, this show has a pretty broad reach, and you're fantastic, and if anything we can do to help, we're definitely happy to. Jeff, throw her information out there one more time for everybody so they can find her.
Absolutely. You want to Google her, you want to type in Alexandra Allred, then you want to go alexandraallred.com. You'll find one of her 30 books. I'm sure they're all amazing. Then you want to go to 13able.com. What is that too, by the way? 13able.
13able are my, that's the stuff that I do with my special needs young adults. And I have a patent on a product that I developed for them so that they could work out at home. And it's, you know, cheap and easy because these families get just nailed with costs on things, anything occupational and physical therapy wise. And so I developed this polycarbonate material, and I developed this. It's just a product that helps them work on left and right and transition and spatial awareness and all kinds of good stuff, and it's cheap and easy and fun, and anybody can do it.
I mean, my God, how much...
Love it.
I just feel inadequate, Jeff. That's all. Whenever I talk to Alex, I just feel inadequate now. Like, I need to do more.
And, I feel inspired.
And I'm a hustler.
I love it. I love all the stuff that you've done in your life, and like you've never stopped, and it sounds like you're still doing more and more and more. And the fact that you're changing the world by helping people and making people's lives better, especially people like I have a cousin who has he's on the spectrum, and I know his parents have had a hard time financially with all sorts of stuff because of it. And I just think it's great that you're doing this stuff. I mean, you know, they're human beings, and they need love, and they need people to support them, and they need money to be able to, and they need opportunity, you know, and that's the one thing they don't have, and that's really, it kills me.
Well, that's all from my parents. My parents definitely taught me. I'll tell you guys, I'll say this, if you want to see something really cool, if you like military history at all, Google, go to YouTube and go to the Hinds, H-I-N-D-S, heist, the Hinds heist, and it's 10 minutes long, but it's a really interesting story about when the Soviet MI-24 went down, and it's an aircraft that was bulletproof, and the whole world wanted this thing, and it went down in the Chadian Desert, and the race was on who could get to the Soviet aircraft as fastest. The French were after it, the Chinese, the Soviets were obviously trying to get there, but there was one guy that happened to be in the Chadian Desert, and he convinced Chadian drug lords, and you, this part you don't know in the video, but he convinced Chadian drug lords to help him drag this aircraft across the desert, cover up the tracks, and hide it. And he assured them X amount of U.S. dollars, and if they would just let him get the U.S. get to it first. And if you watch the video on exactly the 8th minute and 50 seconds, so 8:50, you'll see the only guy in civilian clothing, a guy in a white shirt, and that's my dad. He was the guy that secured that copter, that aircraft when it went down. So he was the man. It's on YouTube. The Hinds Heist. And it's really cool, but that was the kind of I grew up with a man who got the only picture of the underbelly of a Soviet tank that the Pentagon wanted for forever, and he was captured by the Kuwaitis and tortured, which he refused to give up intel when he noticed that the Iraqis were getting illegal arms and the Chadian, you know, he did unbelievable things. So I have big shoes to try to fill before I die.
Nah, there's big shoes to fill, but you definitely filled them, no doubt about it, with all the good that you do and all the things that you've done, for sure. Because, I mean, listen, you have so much more to do, and you've already done a lifetime's worth of work, that's for damn sure, and helping people and changing lives. Alex, you're the best. We appreciate your time tonight. I mean, there's so much more to talk about with you, but I would keep you on here all night. I mean, you don't want to talk till 2 in the morning, do you? And we can.
No, but listen, I was listening to you guys, so good. Keep doing what you're doing for the restaurants, because listening to you guys really made me think about the livelihoods that are at stake right now in New York, so I like that you guys are doing that. Thank you for having me, and we'll talk later, and I'm going to get you guys down here to Texas.
I can't wait. We're so excited. Thanks, you, Alex. You're the best. Seriously, I love everything you're doing, and I'm so happy to call you a friend, and I can't wait to see what happens next.
All right. Talk to you soon.
We'll take care, Alex. Okay. There she goes, guys. Alexandra Allred hanging out with us tonight. Olympic gold medalist at bobsled. The reason we have a female bobsled team, gentlemen, is because of her. How crazy is that, Jeff?
It is crazy. Just her whole story. Beating up men.
Right?
Teaching herself, I'm not teaching herself, but I mean, you know, training for years and different modalities of fighting and then turning around and working with people that with special needs. I mean, just just a real salt of the earth kind of character. I love these kind of people. I love people like her who inspire me to be a better person.
After hanging out with her, she could still fight if she had to. Trust me.
I believe it.
It was amazing, and I hope so. I hope we get a chance to have you come down and have you guys come be a part of that Texas event. It's such a great event. You feel good about being there, and it's just. a really, really great event. I mean, we could go there and broadcast live from there. She'd set us up, and it would be awesome.
It would be awesome. I would love that.
Dave, that story, man. I mean, honestly, the things that she's done. How crazy is that, right?
Yeah, man. She's, like, telling stories, and I'm having, like, random scenes of, like, Terminator pop up. And I was like, it's, like, real-life Sarah Connor type stuff right here. Like, I would not be worried.
Yeah.
If it was, like, end of the world, and I was just hanging out with her. I'm like, oh, we'll be all right.
Man, she's just fantastic. I love her. Make sure you check her out. Alexandra Allred online. I mean, literally, just the things that this woman's done. So much love for her. Loved meeting her. Loved meeting her very much. Guys, let's take a quick breather here. I'm going to pop the top on a cold one and pour myself a glass and get ready to finish this show out. Dave, I know you've got some. You got a report for us. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the restaurant stuff going on. But when we come back, we're going to get right to Dave's report. Stay right there. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Spreaker Radio with Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, and, of course, here on time tonight, Chef Dave. We'll see you guys in 1 second. Stay right there. Jackfruit, Jeffy. It's honestly the best vegan food I've ever had.
No doubt. We learned all about it on our trip in Mexico this year.
Hey, it's Chef Plum and Chef Jeff from Plum Love Foods Live talking Upton's Naturals.
Upton's Naturals is an independently owned natural foods company with a focus on meat alternatives and vegan values since opening in 2006.
Hey, that's right. Now Upton's has launched the first-to-market seasoned, ready-to-eat jackfruit in the whole United States.
With great flavors like Thai curry, original, sweet and smoky, sriracha, chili lime, barbecue. Man, I am getting hungry.
Well, you haven't eaten in 12 minutes, so that makes sense. Try it, man. This stuff is great. Amazing tacos, sandwiches, you name it.
I'm still hungry.
Yeah, me too now.
Upton Naturals, available now on Amazon.com, ThriveMarket.com, RabbitFood.com, and more.
And, of course, check out UptonsNaturals.com. Let's get some tacos.
I love tacos.
Me too. Plum Love Foods Live here on a Thursday. Getting ready as the apocalypse continues here. As we broadcast live, just finished a great spot. If you haven't checked it out, hopefully you did. Of course you did, because it's a podcast. Or maybe you're tuning in now. Who knows? If you haven't done so, check it out. Great spot with Olympian Alexander Allred. It's your boy Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, Chef Dave. Hanging out with you tonight here on a Thursday. As I have my quarantine friends with me. Guys, the more and more I just keep thinking about the world we live in right now, it's just fucking crazy. Like, who would have thought? Like, literally, it seems like it's something out of a bad movie, doesn't it, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, like, pretty much end of the world, I start showing up on time. You know, like, something's going down.
Right?
It's you ran out of weed.
It's your fault, Dave. It's your fault. What was you posted some meme, or not a meme, you posted a thing on your Instagram tonight that cracked me up, Dave, where it said, 2020, people are like, yeah, let's celebrate like the roaring 20s. And the earth goes, okay, here's a virus that's going to plague the planet or whatever.
Yeah, it was like a World War III and then like a plague and then the stock market crashes and bars aren't allowed to open.
Oh, so funny. I think out of all of that, we'd all be sad the bars can't open.
Well, yeah.
Unless you come to Connecticut, you can get drive-through alcohol. But you know who was already doing that?
Louisiana. Yeah, yeah.
The
drive-through. You can get drive-through in Manhattan now.
Can they? You really?
Yeah, you get delivered alcohol, and every restaurant's allowed to serve it out. Like, this place in Brooklyn, my friend's bar called Someday. He's the chef there. They're doing these really cool, like little, you know, like the milk bags you used to get in school. You know, like the little carton bags, the little baggies. Yeah. They're doing cocktails in those, and they're just flinging them. Yeah, so you can come by and grab like, you know, a dozen little cocktails with your food to go curbside, run back to the house.
Did you say a dozen?
I mean, come on, you got friends over, and in the apocalypse.
That's not how social distancing works.
All right. Well, maybe I have a wife. My kids aren't old enough to drink, but, you know, I like to pour some out for my homies. So maybe a dozen.
All right.
Fair enough. Well, look, here's the deal. It's getting crazy out there. It's getting weird out there. I mean, you're going to restaurants now, getting takeout. You're allowed to get cocktails, too. Unfortunately, a lot of restaurants, man, have had to lay people off. And You know, they don't know what's going to happen. Some restaurants don't even know if they're going to be able to reopen, which is sad, and it makes me very upset to hear that. Jeff, are you hearing? I mean, listen, you talk to a lot of people. You place a lot of people. I mean, how many phone calls are you getting now from people losing jobs?
Not as many private chefs, but I've had a few private chefs who've lost some work. They were more like freelance guys that were doing like shorter stints here and there.
Right.
But then I know a few people who have just been laid off, like, hey, we're going to this house. We're not sure till when, so sorry. And, you know, that's happened. And then I know quite a few people in restaurants who have had to lay people off and have had to close their doors and who have told me that, you know, I have 2 weeks left of money. I have 3 weeks left of money. I don't know where I'm going to do. You know, tears in their eyes, and I'm just trying to buy as much as I can to make it, it's not enough, you know, it's a fucking crazy, scary time, man.
Well, and my brother show you just how delicate our industry is. I mean, literally, it hasn't even been a full week yet, and this is what people are looking at having to do. I mean, you know, we all know the sales margins for restaurants generally are what, 1.5 to 3% the most. Like, it's tough to make money in the industry, and a lot of times you do it just to provide jobs and, you know, make a living for yourself. And, you know, it's especially small places, and it's tough. It's very, very tough. And, you know, when you go through a week where you can't get sales, it puts you in a really, really bad spot. I mean, it's just tough. I mean, Dave, no one could have ever seen anything like this coming down the road.
No, I don't think anybody was planning for like a pandemic to just be like, all right, we're going to shit on the industry and kind of you guys figure it out as we go.
Yeah, but let me ask you. So restaurant people in general, I mean, should we have more of a plan? Should we think more ahead about things like this? Because most restaurant owners I know, I mean, listen, there's just really smart guys out there. But one, it's tough for them to make money to begin with. But two, to even be able to put money aside in some sort of emergency fund or just to save money is almost impossible, Jeff.
Yeah, it's definitely almost impossible. So there's a lot of, and like you said before, there's a lot of people out there who are living check to check. There's no way to save money. You're just paying your bills, eating, living, and making sure, you know, everybody's, the machine's running. You know, it's like,
yeah,
there's no room for monkey wrenches.
Well, I remember, you know, being in Virginia, one of the places I spent a long time at working, you know, the owner actually, he ran shifts and basically was like the general manager / owner. And, you know, he ran shifts at the restaurant and paid himself a salary. It wasn't a massive salary, but at least then, you know, he could make some money off the deal too. When the restaurant made money, that was a different thing. That went into the business. But for himself, that's what he did. And I think a lot of restaurant owners now are kind of getting away from that. We have some good friends who still do that, but you know, a lot of owners who don't do things like that. I mean, Dave, you've seen that, like, where owners just don't really work.
Well, I think, like, in some cases of owners, it's more like an investment thing. And then there's a staff that, you know, does the rest.
But you think there's a chance to have actually more liquid finances in a restaurant like that if the owner was to work? And maybe, yeah, I don't know, like if that would that make a difference?
I don't know. I guess it would depend on who the experience of their business level. You know what I mean? Like, in the industry versus it being more of an investment towards a business. Does that make any sense?
Totally. No, I get it. Jeff, what do you think?
Well, I agree. I think that if you're in a position, I mean, if you're a chef and you own a restaurant, you're probably going to be a working owner, right?
Sure.
I mean, but if you're a lawyer and you have a bunch of cash and you want to retire and you think opening a restaurant would be cool, you're probably just going to be a guy who owns a restaurant, you know, and employs a bunch of people. So I think we're seeing the dynamic, the pull apart there is probably pretty obvious. Like, the people who are all getting laid off in one big swoop early are probably the people who are fiscally motivated to become chefs or to have a restaurant, and the people who are fighting for the survival of it are the people who own it and live in it and breathe in it and bring their kids there after work or after school, and now they're probably in the back doing dishes or, you know what I mean?
The Matt Storches of the world.
Exactly, exactly. To get the guys who are, you know, creating 40 jobs in their community, 50 jobs in their community, feeding a bunch of people, you know, and you know, just salt of the earth.
Keeping it going.
You know, people who are keeping it alive.
Yeah, yeah, man. Just crazy. What's remarkable to me is just how many chefs, you know, are just literally, I mean, they're not even at work and they're losing their jobs. You know, the old, I'm not supposed to be here today and I'm losing my job. But the good news is that our correspondent, Chef Dave, here on the program has done some extensive research, interviewing thousands of people, thousands of everyone from chefs to dancers to actors to, I mean, you name it. Dave, you interviewed them, didn't you?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it must have been 6,000-8,000 people. You sent me the articles that you had written. Well, that you had written that you had reached out to interview and spend a few minutes with, and you came up with a little report for us on some people that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, amazingly, I got in contact with like 7,000 people within like 10 hours. It was not a lot of stuff going on today, so fast response.
All right.
Well, thanks, Dave, for your report. That's the key for you to get into your bit.
Oh yeah. Well, I picked up on that. So
did you? Because I don't. Jeff, do you think he did? Because I don't think he did.
I thought I had music. Sure, did. I thought I had theme music. Sorry, I was waiting.
Oh, you
for
want
it.
Some theme music? Well, okay. Here you go. That's the wrong one. Here you go. Here you go. It's that time of year again, and Chef Dave is here to help.
No,
you.
This isn't.
That's the wrong one.
No.
All right, how about this one? That's not a good one. Here you go, Dave. Here's your music for Dave's learning shit.
All right, that's a happy one.
I
like
don't it. Know. I just played some shit. All right, go for it.
I don't like it.
I liked it. It's not. It's my bit. So I'm gonna pick that music. We're gonna run with that.
All right. So,
Dave,
you did a little research. You found something out for us.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I already picked it. Tell that guy to calm the fuck down. I already picked it. You can't take it away.
Dave, what'd you find out in your 7,000 interviews? What's the report you have for us tonight?
So I talked to Tesla's people, Nikola Tesla's people, not like the car.
Yeah.
And he got fired as a draftsman in Slovenia on his day off.
Wow. So the Nikola Tesla was fired.
Nikola,
on his day off. That's interesting. So there's some good people in the world who have been fired on their day off, not just cooks and restaurant industry people is what you're getting at.
Yeah, he was fired for gambling.
Well, don't make you a bad person, right, Jeff?
That depends on where you live.
No. I mean, they're making all the laws on everything nice and lax these days, so I'll go with that, too.
Yeah.
When
Nikola Tesla was probably gambling, you could probably get flogged.
Yeah. Hey, he probably bet 2 shiny nickels on a horse, right?
I don't know. Ruples or something.
Ruples. 2 shiny ruples or clamshells.
I'm probably wrong there, too. Something.
Clamshells. This couldn't be perceived as racist, could it?
No, because we're talking about like Slovenia and Russia and shit. Anyway,
all right,
moving on.
Yeah, what else?
Ryan Gosling, when he was supposed to be in The Lovely Bones, and he was supposed to play the role as the father, and he gained like 60 pounds because he thought Ryan Gosling.
Ah, Ryan Gosling. Yeah, sure, I remember him. The actor, beautiful man, Jeffy.
Yeah, well, he gained 60 pounds for the part of the dad in Lovely Bones because he's like, oh, the dad, he seems like he should be like, you know,
sure,
a heavy set guy. And then they fired him on his day off.
Wow.
So he was like, so at this point, I was just like fat and unemployed. So that was great.
Wow. So Brian Gosling got fired on his day off, Jeffy. So it's not just dishwashers and servers.
He's got great abs now. I just want to point that out.
Ah, it's a great abs. There you go. Wow, that's a shame. I can't believe Ryan Gosling got fired on his day off. So if you guys have lost your jobs today, yesterday, this week because of your restaurant, you're in good company here. I mean, Nikola Tesla and Ryan Gosling so far also lost their jobs on their day off. Dave, what else did you find out?
Charlie Sheen, because winning. So,
yeah.
Next one. Let's see. Oh, Snoop Dogg. He was fired as a bag boy on his day off because he was, quote, better at stealing groceries than bagging them.
Listen, there's only so many times you can pocket a couple of steaks and go home before they catch you, Jeffy. It's just the way it works. That's the world. Is not. That's how it works. They're going to see it.
That's it.
Jeffy, what happened? Did I lose you?
No, man.
His mic got fired.
Just bump into that music. That background music's got me shaking my booty.
Dave, so if Snoop Dogg can get fired, I think that other people who work in the industry can be fired. Bartenders, cooks, they all can be, right?
Yeah, pretty much anybody can be fired. So,
Well, welcome back to the show, Jeffy. He got fired for stealing groceries, remember? That's what Dave said.
Stealing groceries?
Mm-hmm. He was way better at stealing groceries than bagging them.
Mm-hmm.
According to the in-depth report from Dave.
The in-depth report from David.
That was a quote.
From the Snoop Dogg. I can't believe Snoop Dogg stole groceries. Was this when he was broke?
Yeah, he was a bag boy. That's what he got fired from being a bag boy. Where were you?
What happened?
I don't know.
What happened?
I don't know what just happened. I was
you
like,
know how long I spent on this report, and then you're just like, all right, I'm going to zone out because Dave's talking now. This is hurtful.
No, it wasn't on purpose.
All right. I don't know why, but I believe you.
Because you know me.
All right.
What else you got, Dave, in this in-depth report that you interviewed so many people for?
Craig.
Craig? Who's Craig?
Yeah. He got fired on his day off for stealing boxes.
Craig.
Yeah.
Like Craig. That Craig?
Yeah, that Craig.
Craig. Wow. I mean, that's true, right?
Yeah. I mean, how the fuck are you going to get fired on your day off for stealing boxes?
Craig. I mean, does that count, though, Dave? Is that an actual person we can count on?
I know Craig. You know Craig. We've all seen Craig. All right. Craig is a real person.
Wow. All right. Well, Craig.
he got in a fight with Devo. He gained respect. Craig has street cred. All right.
Fair enough. I couldn't agree more. I mean, listen, if you fight Devo and you win, you know, there you go. So, Craig, there you go. So far, we got Snoop Dogg, Craig, Nikola Tesla, Ryan Gosling. You got one more for us?
You missed Charlie Sheen, but we didn't really have to go into depth.
Oh, where were you? Were you sleeping? What happened?
Well, the Charlie Sheen, we didn't really talk about that much.
I mean, do we need to?
I guess not. It was very glazed over. You just threw. I thought it was more of like an example.
I didn't hear it either. I'm sorry.
Well, listen, Dave, this is a very in-depth report, and I'm glad to say that there's a lot of people out there in the industry who are losing their jobs today, yesterday, who might lose their job tomorrow. Here's the good news. If you're not working, you're in good company. Clearly, a lot of great people have lost their jobs on their day off. And Dave, good journalistic work out there by you, brother.
Thanks. The delivery was kind of shit, but I tried.
Nah, you did good. You did good. It was all right. I mean, you kind of didn't realize it was time to go, but other than that, you got it. You did well.
Well, I think I'm going to blame the sound department on that one. Because, like, in my script right here where we line it up, it says theme music playing. And that did not happen. So I don't know if there's a miscommunication. Yeah, I don't know if there's, like, a miscommunication in production or people just didn't get my notes. But, you know, it's not. Let's try
Well, I fired the email off. Listen, we never use the chat here on the program, but Serena from Station Head is chiming in. Who the fuck is Craig? Craig from Friday, Serena. Ice Cube's character.
It's all right. She's from Arizona.
That's true.
Craig?
That's true. It does change the game a little bit. Anyway.
I like pig feet, Craig.
I like pig feet. Well, listen, it's been a fun show here tonight, man. We'll probably have another pop-up show here this weekend at some point in time, but big shout-out and thanks to Alexandra Allred for joining the program tonight. Love hearing her story and sharing it with everyone. Hopefully we'll have her on again. She's just absolutely amazing. The reason we have a female bobsled Olympic team is because of her, and I love it. Her stories are just awesome, and she's a cage fighter. I mean, Jesus. I mean, she's helping everybody. If you haven't found her yet, go find her online. You can find her at alexandraallred.com. That's A-L-L-R-E-D. That's how you spell her last name. Check her out there. And, of course, 13bridges.com. She's doing amazing work out there for people, and I can't emphasize enough to support people like her. I'm listening. Everybody wants support right now, but a support for someone like her is just to say what's up, follow her on social, check her out on Facebook, check her out on Instagram. That's all you got to do. It's that simple. It is that simple, Jeff.
That's all you got to do is type in what he said, and you will get the information that you need.
I had no idea you were going to be singing now. That makes me excited.
I feel like opening credits should be starting right now. Like, I just got my snacks, and it's like, sit down and enjoy yourself.
That's it. That's it. Well, you could do that. You can sit down and enjoy yourself and have a great time, and you can watch some Netflix in standard definition. Okay?
That's you can watch it. Friday in standard definition, Serena.
Standard.
You should check that out.
Yeah. Right Netflix now. Says no more HD. No. Well,
I'm upset. I'm paying for HD. So, like, am I going to get a discount? Are they just like, hey, Mr. Boredom, you got, like, 19 months of free Netflix? Or, like, what's the story?
Do you actually pay for Netflix now, Dave, or are you stealing from somebody else?
I have my own Netflix now, like an adult.
Wow.
Okay. I'm no longer
leaving. Good for you, Dave.
Good for you.
I have my own Netflix.
You know what really sucks, though, guys, about this quarantine thing?
What? What's that?
I got a new gimbal, and there's no, we're not going to be able to do any video.
Just run around your fucking house with it.
Well, no, I'm doing all that. No, we're doing house videos. But I'm just saying, like, not going to be anything going on for a minute. So we're not going to be able to, like,
that means you'll be very adept. You'll be very adept and very experienced using the gimbal by the time we can get around to do things.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I half edited my first video today too. After I used the gimbal and played around with some of the effects.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep your eyes peeled on the social media. We're going to have another pop-up show here very soon. I'm going to do a video about making. I'm going to do a recipe video on Instagram here soon, maybe an Instagram Live. We're going to make a vinegar pie, which is delicious to have one in Pittsburgh. I started researching it. Now I want to make one. I want to make it on Instagram Live for everybody. In the meantime and in between time, ladies and gentlemen, please remember food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves and take care of each other, guys. Please.
I'm the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters. Do you think I'm crazy?